Yeah,
Shanaz,
absolutely.
Welcome to the East Coast Drive, and thank you for speaking to us on such short notice.
Thank you for having me on air.
I'm new to the East Coast, so I want to find out from you firsthand, how bad is child abuse in KZN? In terms of statistics, what's your take on it? Is it a dire situation? Is it a situation that the province has got a handle on, or where are we?
You see, the problem is it's appalling. Statistics, it's appalling, and the statistics differ because there's such a myriad of abuse. It's physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. There's neglect. So the problem is we actually don't have a handle on it, because it's very difficult. Lots of abuse is hidden. And that is why the organizations like us who respond to calls for abuse, we do awareness on abuse. So there's still a lot that needs to be done in terms of detecting abuse and actually trying to put a stem to stop the abuse. I don't think, you know, even in saying that, as I say it, I realize we'll never stop it. But if we can make people aware of looking out for the signs of abuse.
Well, Shanaz, you speak of making people aware. I'm such a big fan of nipping a problem in the bud. Mm-hmm. What drives people to abuse children?
That's a difficult one. Mm. That's a very difficult one, because there is no profile for somebody who abuses a child. I mean, how often do you read in the paper, you see on the news, a supposedly normal person, well-functioning? You know, people would say, my God, we didn't realize that he was actually abusing the girl next door. This was a teacher that was abusing his pupil, sexually abusing. So that is why it's very difficult. But there is actually no profile. We actually don't know. I think there needs to be more research done into what drives somebody to actually abuse the trust of a child, because basically, in essence, that's what it is, to realize that you have the power over that child, that you can actually do something that violates the rights of that child. And that is the thing, is there is no profile for somebody who abuses their child, even for a parent who abuses their child, or for a teacher, or for anybody else. There is no profile, but what we just got to be very vigilant about is the signs, the telltale signs of abuse.
Shanaz Rorya, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
Well, thank you.
Listen, how are children protected in the Constitution?
Well, we have the Children's Act. We have the Children's Act and the Child Justice Act. And we, as being the largest and the oldest NPO, Child Protection, we are accredited Child Protection Organization, we are actually custodians of that act. So we, when cases of abuse are referred to us, or neglect or abandonment, we actually can escalate that to the levels of the Children's Court. So, not many people are aware of the content of the Children's Act, and that's too long a discussion to get into, but yeah, it protects the rights of the child. You know, there are certain rights that a child has, basic food, education, right to medical care. So all of that is covered in the Children's Act, and there are certain sections of the Act, and you can actually litigate the abuser in terms of that.
Shanaz, it's Gareth here. I've got the last one. I just wanted to know, how can people sort of look out for child abuse? Because like you said earlier, it's very difficult to pick up when children are actually being abused.
Well, firstly, you know what happens is if you notice that there's a change in the child's personality, you know, become introverted, self-esteem levels seem to drop, anything that would, from a psychological perspective, make you realize that the child doesn't appear to be normal, then you would look for, obviously, the telltale signs of abuse, something that's not, doesn't seem to be accidental, but rather something determined, you know, a blue eye, a scratch. Children that go to school, we ask very often that teachers follow up on children that are coming with repeated injuries and no proof of the fact that the child has actually been taken to the hospital. Little girls who become very, you know, sexual abused, they become conscious of people touching them, their vaginal area, they kind of, their whole body language would be, you know, cross their arms, cross the legs. So you would look out for things like that. There are some very subtle signs, and there are some very vivid signs, something that you could see immediately that there's something wrong with the child. But it's so important that everybody who interacts or works with children, teachers, social workers, anybody, even parents, you know, so very often, I think when we are so busy, you know, we come home from work, we're busy with homework, with all our chores that we have at home, that we might miss something very, very important. So it's just to be very aware, you know, of the child and how the child normally is, and anything that kind of raises a red flag around something different about the child. We just have to be very mindful of that. And that is why we try and do as much education in schools as well. You know, for teachers to be on the lookout for these signs.
And so, in cases where you do find child abuse, does that immediately mean separation of child and parent?
Well, not immediately, because we've obviously also, in terms of the Children's Act, you see, the removal of the child is the last resort, so we've got to investigate very, very quickly, get statements, get the police involved, and well, the people in the community who would give us statements to say that the child has been abused, that can verify. But obviously, if we see a child and the child's got a blue eye and a broken leg and cuts and gashes, we're not going to say, okay, hang on, we're going to wait to follow this whole process. We then remove immediately and do the investigations thereafter. So that is, we work very closely with the police in removing the children, and of course with the courts as well, with the family courts as well.
Yeah, I know, so it's a difficult situation.
Yeah, it is. Yes, and the other thing is that, you know, people believe that, the whole thing with social media being as widely available as it is, even to children also. You know, the pedophiles that pick up children on Facebook, on all of the things that are available, that little, you know, the fact that 10, 11-year-old, even 8-year-old kids have now have access to cell phone or the internet. People that the sexual abusers usually pry, you know, that's their hunting ground. So they might obviously hide their identity and try and attract the child via social media. So that's another biggie the portal through which children are being sexually abused as well.
Yeah, no, my son has been an attempted, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, they've tried to fish him out as well, and we nipped it in the butt early.
Okay.
Yeah, so, when he was younger, I think he was about 8 or 9 at the time. But listen, Shanaz Gabrou, thank you for speaking to us. Really appreciate it. She's the Executive Director of Child Welfare in the Durban and KZN District, or just the
Durban
District?
Durban District area.
Right. We'll be in touch with you a lot more, and thank you so much for your informative words.
Thank you for having me. Thanks a lot. Let's go, man! With Fat Joe. Weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m.